Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Practitioner Mentor Call. We are joined by a number of practitioners, and we're glad to take questions and anything. My name is Agnieszka, and I'm here with Adamantia. Adamantia, would you like to say something to start?
Yeah, I'd just like to say hello, and we had our Body Awakening Method call last night, and I had mentioned that I just got back from Sedona from an amazing month and a half. We're doing level ones and twos and the three-day Body Awakening Method live event, and it was just amazing and phenomenal for everyone that was there. Yeah, thank you. And and so we had a great call last night and really looking forward to tonight's call, especially with the Body Awakening Method mentor calls. It tends to be more structured. We're going through the chakras, and with the practitioner calls, what we've decided is just keep them open to see how they unfold. So for tonight, we'll let Michelle start us off, if that works for you.
Yeah, that works for me. Thank you, Adamantia.
Okay.
So what happened was normally I've been trying to, you know, fulfill my requirements for the practitioner of doing the full body analysis, and mostly I've been doing them with friends, people that know me, and I know them. And so, of course, I come into the sessions with a lot of knowledge already. And even then, I mean, great breakthroughs, great awarenesses, just fabulous. So then I was at this holiday event, and we were encouraged to offer big prizes. And so I offered a free body analysis. And it was a little bit risky, but that was something that I could use, and that somebody could get 4 hours of my time. So this woman shows up, and I don't know her that well, and she doesn't know me, and we're in my office, and I'm doing this analysis, and she reveals some stuff about what she's been struggling with, but I was in my body analysis hat and not in my grief hat, and so I kind of missed that. I felt bad about that, but then it turned out that in looking at her and the way in which she had those Catholic knees, my sense was that something had happened there, and I mentioned that, and then she admitted that she had a strong belief that she had been molested by her father, probably oral molestation. And judging by her legs, I would say, yeah, that was what was going on. And so I went through the analysis, and then I showed her some diaphragmatic breathing, and then she left. And I felt really agitated afterwards, like that somehow there hadn't been that connection that I had at the other in the other analyses. And I felt like I had somehow not been able to connect with her and so this was the important thing. So we, at the end, I was reading it, and it was very kind. I mean, it was quite gentle what I wrote there. But I was using the sitting that we had been taught at the practitioner, where her knees were inside of my knees, and she pulled back like I had hit her with a hot poker. It was like, mm-hmm. Why are you doing that? And I was like, yeah. You know, I don't even know. I mean, that's how we were taught. It was like nobody else ever was bothered by it. So I said, well, I will ask the practitioner group. I'll find out about that. But that, I think that was part of the disconnect there. It was like and it makes sense, but I just hadn't been thinking about that. So that mm-hmm. felt a little yucky. And then, mm-hmm. And that's it. That's it, is that it just left me feeling like things didn't happen quite right, and that she left. And so you have suggested that I reach out to her again, and I will attempt to do that. But she might not be willing. She might not. I mean,
sorry, go ahead.
It was pretty intense. She might not be willing to receive that because it was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that my personal opinion on that is that she did come to you, so she was open to some sort of experience for one. The other is, like I mentioned earlier, that's definitely one of the hardest, if we take even the personality away from it, the one of the most difficult energy fields to be working with anyway. So that uncomfortableness would be in that energy field of what's coming up into consciousness, especially when we're dealing with abuse, but also incest. So there's a lot of dynamics that are going there. So I think the fact that she even stayed for the whole analysis, I would say that that is a really big deal. Even to the end of you reading it to her, there was still, it seems to me, that still shows an openness and a willingness, whereas some people might even just have left.
Right.
So I think
she even allowed me to show her the diaphragmatic breathing at the end.
Yes, that's huge. I guess I just want to point out that that's huge.
Okay.
That she stayed and she allowed that. And then I'll just make one comment is also about the knees.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are taught that. There have been times personally when I've done analysis on people, and that's where my intuition comes in. And the odd time, because I do listen to that, so it is a body analysis, which may seem like a mental thing, but actually I find it's actually more, there's a lot of intuition in there, where there's been times where I thought to myself, no. And
right.
I'll do it in a way that feels appropriate. So that's what I would say is, yes, we are taught that, but to use your intuition is to, and it's a learning experience, right?
Discretion.
Yes. So.
Yeah. And I'm also realizing that, see, I'm still learning all this stuff, and there's so much information, and it's like, for me, it's kind of like almost like information overload when I really need to kind of step back a little bit and take the whole gestalt of the person in when I'm doing this analysis instead of trying to get it all right. You know, that's kind of like that very type A and perfectionist thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so I just would like to add a little bit more of a maybe a spiritual global perspective on the subject. You're really focused on getting things run right and doing them right, but on the global viewpoint, you can think about the fact that out of millions of practitioners and millions of offers and millions of free sessions that she could have had, she came to you.
Yeah.
So there's already a divine intervention there because she's actually there in front of you in your physical space. And then you providing her with this information and her being able to accept it and being able to listen and stay the whole time, that's a huge gift.
Okay.
So not to discount your abilities or your possibilities here, just to acknowledge and be grateful for the gift that you've given this woman.
Thank you. That's really a great reframe on it.
Yeah,
because I felt like, oh my God, I totally missed the boat on it. But thank you. That's totally not true.
That's exactly where the boat was supposed to be at this time in the boat's life.
Yeah, and you know, she may not have even been. She may have needed to be defensive at this point, and maybe not opened more to me. So
maybe. But sometimes people experience things differently right off the bat, and then thinking about it later, they experience it differently. So there's all these different factors, and even if she did react, or even if you got her goat up or whatever, or her, I don't know how to say that, but her backup maybe, even if you did that, if you triggered her somehow, still it was as it should be, because have you ever actually missed the boat? Like in your life, have you actually missed the boat? The boat's always there when it's supposed to be there, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Hello, Agnieszka.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Who is the last person? 780.
Patricia.
Lauren? Huh?
Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I pulled the wrong number the first. That's why I was late.
Welcome.
And that Lucy lady didn't spell it like Lucy does is not here anymore.
So Patricia, I just want you to know that we're on the line with Monica and Michelle and Marissa and Whitney. And actually, Whitney, Marissa, and Monica, you'll be meeting in Sedona at Masters.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I already met Marissa.
Whitney. Yeah. Whitney did, but I mean Patricia.
Yeah,
so, and Marissa, I think you had said that you wanted to comment on Michelle's, what she was talking about.
Yeah, I had a woman with sexual abuse when she was young as well, so a family member last week, and she had a huge release. And I would love to share with Michelle and everyone on the call is just what worked really well for this woman. She had a huge release, and it was really just me having the compassion, standing there, seeing there, holding her in a space of safety, and allowing her to be seen and released. So for me, what I've learned with clients is the less is more. It's not necessarily about the technicality of what you actually see in front of you, and it's really just honoring who she is and what she's been through.
Yeah.
And holding that space for her to release. And I found less words actually work, are more impactful. She actually, I saw her for 10 minutes. It was the open house. So in 10 minutes, she said she released more than she has in therapy in years.
Wow. That's great. Thank you.
I wanted to share that with you.
That's really great.
That's great. Thank you, Marissa.
Was that through a body analysis?
Yes.
Yes.
But it was very, I didn't share too much. That was at the crux of it. And I just held the space for her to release, and she cried, and she released, and she felt amazing when she left.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if I may actually just add something that's just coming to mind at the moment about sexual abuse and indicators that we may see in the body, it's suggested that we don't actually point it out in a sense of your upper lip, it looks like this, therefore you have been sexually abused. The person, and I'm not saying that either of you or anyone has done this. I'm just this just triggered a memory of what I've heard Carol share in class. Just for anyone who hasn't had that experience, it's to point out that there may, to put it in different words, because it's more about than the person offering it. Because sometimes people don't even remember that it occurred.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though the body may be showing that it has. I just wanted to add that, just for anyone who hasn't come across that yet.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So is this format just kind of asking questions and then you guys answering them?
I think all of us together, actually, being that it's even a practitioner, master teacher, mentor call. I think that we all work together, and anyone that has any feedback. I just wanted to mention, and to Agnieszka as well, I didn't mention this to you earlier, but going forward, we could really make these mentor calls whatever we want to make them. We can do case studies, which I would just love to get into. So, for example, if you're doing a body analysis on someone, you have pictures, maybe there's some way we can come up with a format where we can get it on screen. I'm not sure if that's possible, but everything. All these things are possible. I'm looking at Agnieszka going, is it possible? So I like to offer.
I don't know how to send the link to the image to people, but yeah.
Yeah. So we could do that. The other thing is we could do body parts. I mean, we could spend a whole mentor call just on the feet, the knees. I mean, and the other calls we're going through the chakras, we can go through the body as well. So I just want to put it out there that we can create these calls to be whatever it is that you want, we want together.
Okay. Well, no, I just had a few questions.
But hang on. I just had something else to say about the lips that Adamantia said earlier before we move on to the next subject. I just wanted to point out to you guys that sometimes when we look at lips and we're like, oh, that may indicate sexual abuse, actually a complete stifling of personality in an emotional sort of power struggle kind of way would probably present the same in the lips. Like if somebody's completely stifled in their personality might have really tight lips, and somebody who's abused might have really tight lips. And so we can't really presume that that's what it is. We can just say, oh, there is, you know, somebody was overpowering you at an early age or things like that. Like I would just caution against presuming too much or going to too deep a conclusion before we talk to the person and examine all of their traits and features.
Exactly.
So what is the shape of the lips that would indicate that? I didn't even know that.
Well, that's more that we get into that more in Masters.
Oh, okay.
So that's I just pulled that out as an example, and there are various things that do indicate sexual abuse, but that's more we get into the Masters and actually more into the teacher's level.
Okay.
But it could be anything. You could say the Catholic knees and say, oh, your knees indicate that you have been sexually abused. I'm just saying that if it even is screaming at you that they have, then I would suggest that, like Agnieszka said, that perhaps some point some power was taken away from you, or rewording it, but never actually saying this shows that you've been sexually abused, because that is just there's a whole different.
Just lost their trust.
Yeah. So it just could open. It opens up too much. So it's not necessarily anything about the lips. I was just using that as an example, though.
Okay. Okay. I was just curious.
But then.
But she did have really tight lips, too, which is interesting. So I was like, that makes sense. Very, very, like, really. Thank you.
But if you look at tight lips just in general, where the top lip is the expression of our emotions and the bottom lip represents the expression of our thoughts, if they're tight on anyone anyway, it means a holding back of expression, and the degree of tightness would be the degree of holding back.
Yeah.
She also actually had kind of like a curve to her lip, like there was, it looked like she was in an expression of disdain. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like curl, like
that,
ooze.
That muscle next to the nose was pulled up?
Lip, and it was on the left side.
Yeah, it was showing in the lip. But if you think about how the structure, like the anatomy of the face is, usually when the lip is pulled up, it's because the muscle next to the base of the nose is pulled up, which is actually the nose. So it's actually showing up in the lip, but the cause is from the nose, which is your ego. And that particular muscle being pulled up, it's like the fuck you attitude, like you can't screw with me anymore, fuck you kind of thing.
And
this is why I think it would be amazing if we did come up, when we do come up, not if, when we come up with a way to be doing analysis with pictures online that we can all look at, because in one person it could be coming from the lip, and like as Agnieszka just said, for another person actually it could be coming from the nose, from the solar plexus. And that's when we get into looking at it online, that's why I'd be really, really excited to set those sort of mentor calls up, so... was it Patricia that was going to speak next? But then we said, I didn't recognize
the lip thing.
My question is not so much about the analysis. I'm just wanting to get started to do the one-on-ones. What's the best way? I understand that I have to do some free ones and that kind of stuff. So what kind of fees do you generally charge to people once you do some free ones? And then kind of the marketing end of things.
Well, there's a few things there. So for the logbook, Patricia, is this what you mean for preparing to come to Masters or to get the practitioner certification?
I already have my practitioner certification.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just looking more to do this as kind of a career. I've set up a three-day session to help women through breast cancer and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm looking more, I want to do this kind of possibly full-time, part-time kind of thing. Agnieszka, how you said in your office out of Calgary, how you, I'm not sure who all's involved there, how you have people come in and you set up emotional release and body analysis with them.
Yeah, so the very, very basic way that I charge people in my healing studio is I charge $100 an hour, which means that a half an hour consultation would be $50. A half an hour face reading with a mini body analysis would be $50. And a full body-mind analysis that takes an hour and a half would be $150. And I don't do partial body-mind analysis or partial emotional release therapy. I mean, I do partial, I guess, in the sense where I offer a facelift, which would be a separate just facial massage. But other than that, I don't get into the body unless they allow me to release the whole body, which takes an hour and a half, which is $150.
Okay, so that's like the emotional release.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to add to that, if somebody wanted, though, a full body analysis 8-page report, that's a different story, and that might be something that personally you have to look at how long that's going to take you. I mean, I'm in agreement with minimum $100 an hour with what Agnieszka said. And it depends on what the work is that you're, so you'll probably have a few offerings, like Agnieszka just described, the face, the trigger point release, and all that. And just on a personal level, I won't do trigger point release on a first session.
Yeah.
I won't do it without a timeline, without a consultation. I won't do it without them having an understanding of what psychosomatic therapy is and awareness as to what's being released. So there's a process before I even will put them on the table. Otherwise, it's just it's a glorified deep tissue massage, which is definitely not.
Okay. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah. And as far as some of the other things, and you are coming to Masters, and we are going to be getting into a little bit more about that, how to structure. There will be a component of that in there. So, is that helpful?
Okay. Yep.
Okay, good. And who's Ventana the Greens?
Kay.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay, hi Kay. Welcome. And Tracy has joined us as well.
Hi. And there's someone else, 901.
Are you? That's probably Carol in Costa Rica sneaking in on us.
Lucy.
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Good.
So we just have it open. So if there's anybody else who would like to share or have any questions?
I do have a question.
I have a question.
Okay, was Lucy first and then Tracy?
Yeah. Sure. No, actually Whitney said.
Whitney.
Oh, Whitney. Okay, Whitney, you go for it.
It's a quick one. I'm just not familiar with the term Catholic knees.
Oh, I'm just wondering, did we not, Whitney was just in Sedona, for anyone who hasn't met her, or for those who have, she just did her 10-day practitioner. Catholic knees is when, of course, a picture would be best to show you, but it's when the inner upper legs of the sacral, of the thighs, the inner, come together and the knees touch and the lower legs spread out. I guess that's the best. Does that description work?
There would be extra flesh on the inner part of the knee to the thigh that would be like seemingly preventing any access, or that's kind of how it would show up in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's kind of the way we describe it is as if like someone was holding something between their knees, like a dime, so it wouldn't fall.
Right, got it.
Actually, I'm pretty sure Carol uses a credit card description, but that's a different one. So that's what that is.
Okay, yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Just, you were talking about it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to ask what that is.
Totally, anytime, please do.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing that I had that I wanted to say was to Michelle. She was talking about that, body analysis that she did, and I just wanted to say that, she shouldn't feel bad about being more in her head and trying to get it right, because I'm the same way, and I'm sure there are probably other people out there that are also the same way, and it's sometimes hard to, separate the two and to get back into your heart when you're trying to do it right. So, Michelle, I just wanted to, just give you a little bit of support there and say that, I can relate.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because not many of us are in our head, Michelle.
No, not many.
Was it Lucy or Tracy who had something as well?
I had something. This is Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi. I did a body reading on a male, and the muscle between his ankle and his knee, that's called the calf. Is that correct?
Yeah. And behind?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the big back side. Okay. Just wants to make sure. His calves are like overtly oversized, and they're pointing, they're outward. And he's an umpire for baseball, I guess. And so his foot stance is both legs are pointing in the opposite direction. And then he has these oversized calves. How would you explain that for the foot stance, aside from umpire foot stance, or what does that represent?
Okay, so is the foot stance wide as well, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the foot stance is very wide.
Okay, so when it's wide like that, it's almost like it's a false sense of support. You'll see it a lot, say, with with bodybuilders. And, when we do that example in class with a wide stance and then we push the person at their heart center and they're actually weak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a false sense of needing a sense of support from a very young age, but they're also draining their energy out if the stance is wide. And with the feet going in different directions, again, it'd be the left and right brain function. So it'd be a lack of purpose and direction. So he's got both going on. So definitely, and that's on at his basic, his foundation. And with the calves, anything from the knees down, we're looking about age 5, 6, 7 and younger. So from a very young age, a loss of direction, a need to stand his ground, depending on how large they are, but the bigger they are, the more need to stand his ground. Perhaps there could be some issues that caused fear at a young age that he would have to do that, or perhaps even having to be stubborn in a sense, if a child can be stubborn, having to stand his ground.
What's his belly like, Lucy?
His belly comes out, it's like a little pot belly, a little beer belly, and then his buttocks is like flaccid and flat.
Okay, but the belly is
like
more in the solar plexus or the sacral or both?
It's more at the solar plexus.
Okay, so
and I'm going to guess
identity, right?
I was just going to say, I'm going to guess his knees are locked. Did you check his knees?
Yes, both the knees are locked.
Mm-hmm.
And then his solar plexus is locked. He has hollow areas to the right and left of his sacral. And then he had surgery on his some kind of a surgery that dealt with his urinary.
Underneath his
belly button, he had scars, and then he has excess tissue on the bottom where the sacral is.
Mm-hmm. So with the solar plexus connection that Agnieszka just brought up, and with the knees being the solar plexus as well, I'm going to suggest that from a very young age, there was something going on in his environment that either was fear associated caused him to shut down and having to really stand his ground, almost holding on with that excess energy around the calves. If you think of it that the more tissue there is, the more energy is there. So it's almost like a real holding on and something affecting his personal identity and power from a young age. And that's when looking at the different body parts would really come in handy. For example, what are the toes doing and what's going on in the face as well?
So, okay, on the face, his right eyebrow and right ear is actually higher than the left.
Was his left eye smaller?
Just a little bit, but not by much.
Okay, so I just looked it up in the book, right, like the body book. and problems with urethra, it says here that it would be sexual fearfulness sends them up the skimmer handle, whatever that means. Feel they can never win and that they always lose and are hurt in this arena, in the sexual arena. The result of being sexualized and sexploited in a destructive way during parenting, when they were enticed and attacked for being both attractive and responsive by their parent, usually the mother, in their dysfunctional family. So see this, like all of these things, the knees, the big calves, the blockage in the solar plexus would point to maybe some sexual abuse, or maybe not sexual abuse, maybe sexualization when he was a small child. Like possibly the mother would comment on him being a sexual object without actually abusing him, but it still damaged him psychologically.
Yeah, so even something that might have been going on in his environment that wasn't directly even affecting him. And that's why we kind of skirt around, not skirt around, but we, in a general way, we can see say what's going on.
Can I just something?
This is
yes.
Okay. When I met my husband, he very much had that build. And over time, it disappeared. But what his problem, I guess, one of the issues was, is his mother would repeatedly tell him not to be like his father.
Mm.
So, you know, the sexual part you're kind of talking about. So I'm wondering if that might play in too, you know, just another idea.
And I think that brings up a really good point. Is that, again, I'm going to say it, the timeline, because everybody's a different autobiography. Everyone's a different story. So similar stances, of course, there's psychosomatic meaning behind it, but it could be one person has large calves and had to stand their ground because of this, and then someone else for another reason. So that's where getting to understand if, when working with someone, their history, their story, their timeline, and then when the body is being read, you're reading the story in front of you instead of it being just out of the book, calves mean this. Mm-hmm. And of course, yes, we do use the book for that, but I guess what I'm saying is that's where what is his story. What are his life experiences? That's where, when we're doing the body analysis, we interact with them instead of just analyzing them and writing it down.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you do see, will you be seeing him again, Lucy, like a follow-up?
This was for my log. For my practitioners. So, I could see him for a follow-up, but I didn't know if we're supposed to do follow-ups on that afterwards.
No,
or
we're not.
How that works.
No, we're not supposed to. I was just wondering what, you know, that's great if you did the analysis and everything. I personally, you know, maybe a call even I would call after having an experience with that with someone, and mostly that's creating I think it's just a nice thing to do after, for lack of any better way to explain it. But I think then the feedback of their experience, because it is an intimate experience that you've had with him. So it might be just a suggestion to call him. How did it go? Do you have any questions about it even? Something simple like that. Do you have any questions? And thank you for your time. But by no means do you have to. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I was asking some not directly pointed questions, but kind of vague questions in regards to his childhood and his family and standing his ground. And he was completely in complete denial. He's like, nope, he had a great childhood, no problem. And like,
yeah, I wouldn't put a timeline.
Didn't talk about anything. Didn't want to.
Yeah.
You know, so
and that's why, and that's why I do timelines with people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But for body analysis, and then that's perfect. What unfolded would have been perfect, whether he's in denial or not. I think it's a gift for him and a learning for you as well.
Okay. So when we say timeline, is that the psychosomatic consultation form that they fill out, or
the timeline is actually what we do in, I believe, the Body Awakening Method live event, and I believe it's online, right, Agnieszka? That's the chronological history, mental, emotional, mm-hmm. physical.
Yeah, it's online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. You can apply any
stuff. I'll have to find that.
Yeah, it's right at the beginning somewhere. And if not, then it's in your Full Body Awakening binder that you got.
And if you need, we can easily, we have a file of it. We could post it somewhere, the timeline, as a document.
That would be helpful if I'm supposed to do a timeline for my logs. That would be helpful.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry.
No,
you don't have to do it. It's not a requirement by any means. I just suggest when working with someone, for your logbook, you just have to do what you did. That's great, the 8-page analysis. I'm just suggesting in the future,
okay.
I have found it extremely helpful to do timelines with people. But you don't have to do it by any means.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be helpful for me to be able to do the log properly.
Can incorporate any of the exercises in Body Awakening Method with your clients if you perceive that one of the exercises or one of the practices is beneficial for your clients. I mean, it's all there for you to use and apply to your own development and your own practice, and however you want to do that, whatever your personal brand of psychosomatic therapy is, that's exactly the right thing to do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but I just wanted to clarify, Lucy, they're not required. So what you've done is fine, is good.
All right, so in the timeline, is that module 5?
I think it was like module 1 or 2. I'm not sure, babe.
Okay.
I have to look it up.
Because I'm looking at my DAM right now. Okay. All right. Yeah, if that could be posted in the Facebook group or something so that we know exactly where it's at, that'd be cool. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, and actually we can probably we will post it in the practitioners back end.
Oh, that would be even better. Then I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm actually in the right place on Facebook, because I don't normally play on Facebook. All right, I'll let you get to somebody else. I'm sure somebody else has another question. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy. We have an anonymous who's joined us as well, 805. Who's that? That's probably
same
Carol.
No, it's Christy. Same anonymous as it was yesterday. I'm just here for a few minutes, though. I'm sorry I can't stay in. I was late.
You always sneak in a new anonymous number.
You think we're all going to notice you, don't you, Christy?
Well, it's not because that, but I do have something to share.
Okay, go.
Yeah.
Adam and Tia is a miracle worker, and I love you so much. And I will email you about my day, but just so everyone on the call knows, Adam and Tia spent, I don't know, a few minutes with me last night. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a little tweak.
Well, she couldn't do it without you, I'm sure. You're all both awesome.
We're all awesome.
Well, Agnieszka, you're awesome, too. And I better be seeing you one of these days.
We just make this shit up, okay? We just make this shit up.
Well, no, Agnieszka tells me all the time how I'm going to see her, and then she's always gone before I get there.
Because you get there late.
Well, that is it. Well, it's good. It's good to hear your voice. Thank you, Christy. Thank you. Is there
you guys? The timeline is module 4 for BAM.
Okay. Okay.
I have a case study question that I'd love help with.
Go for it.
All right.
So I have a 29-year-old male who has severe OCD. He has breathing problems. He has.
Can you speak up? I can't. I'm sorry, Marissa. I can't hear you.
I can hardly hear you too, babe.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little bit better, yes.
Okay. I have a 29-year-old male who has severe OCD. He has breathing problems, stomach pain, pain all over his body. He's had seizures. It takes him sometimes 3 hours to take a shower, 2 hours to go to bed, trouble, you know, putting his shoes on, et cetera. I have his timeline in front of me. We've made great progress. He actually became his own healer last week, which was a huge step for him. But I'd love your insight and see if there's something that I can that I'm missing that could really help him shift even more.
All right.
Do you want to go, Agnieszka, or do you want me to go?
Well, I was wanting to hear a little bit more about the timeline.
Yeah, I'm happy to share the timeline if you want that.
Well, just the key points, maybe.
Yep. His mom had preterm labor with him and was on meds and in hospital for 2 weeks, and then he was born 3 weeks early. He's had seizures since the age of three. And at that time, their home was under renovation for an entire year, and they lived in the home. And he didn't feel safe, and that's when all the seizures and everything happened. He, by the age of five, needed extra tutoring in school and then was bullied from age seven and eight. At age seven, his mom miscarried twins in utero. A boy and a girl, and he has an older stepsister and older stepbrother, and did not want to be the youngest child, and that was really traumatic for him, with losing the twins in utero with his mom. I can go on from there, but those were
well, even just from 0 to 7. Even just what happened in the womb, right? What I'm feeling is, don't rush it, Marissa.
We're going really, really slow, and I'm
I know you are. I understand you are, but I also know the size of your heart. I'm also aware the size of your heart and how connected you are to the endless possibilities of healing. And so what I would say is because we've talked about him before, I would say just trust that it's going at the speed that is working for him. Right, like trust what you're doing is what I'm saying.
So Marissa, he's also seeing a psychologist on a regular basis as well, right?
He's been under psychiatric care for the last 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And last week was the first time he actually ran the session, and he actually asked the universe to guide him in the right direction and to send him
good
vibes and healing power. That was huge. We've had a lot of breakthroughs.
That's huge.
It is huge. My urgency in asking this is that the mother he's living at home. He's 29 years old, and the mother is about to ship him to the middle of the country to some OCD healing center, and he's freaking out, and it's triggered him monumentally in the last 72 hours. And so I guess I feel we've made a huge progress. And there's an urgency because he feels like he's going to die. And he's just his triggers have been acting up. And I know there's a lot of energy in the universe and a lot of people's triggers are happening. But I just want to see if there's anything else that I can do to hold that space. I also started treating his mother last week, which was huge. And she needs that as well. She has her own set of things that we're working through with her.
That's huge if you're seeing the mother as well, Marissa. And I would say is, again, trust. So show up, meet them where they're at. But I also would, be caution against, and I'm not saying you're doing this, so please, I'm just going to use the words, but I'm not saying you're doing this. Caution in trying to control where he should go or shouldn't go. No, I don't mean control. Because of your big heart wanting to do the right thing for him. But the thing is, trusting that what's unfolding for him is, and his mother is on track, and that you show up for them when they come for a session and whatever unfolds in that.
It's all actually perfect. It's all divine timing, and it's It's absolutely perfect. That was what created the healing session for him showing up last week and healing himself and asking for guidance, was the mom wanting to ship him off to them. So it's all unfolding beautifully.
No, it is. It's beautiful, because I remember you talking about him maybe a month ago, and I mean, this is a big one. This is a big this young man has a lot of things that he's working towards overcoming. I mean, these are not small things. So the fact that you've brought together, you have come with where you've come with him and his mother is wonderful. So just keep trusting and keep doing what you're doing.
Cool. Thank you.
That's it, period.
Just so you ladies know, there are, or are aware, the client timeline is now in the membership site under level one.
Thank you, Agnieszka. And may I just ask, I would like to open it actually, if it's okay, Marissa. Is there anyone who has any comments to add for Marissa that might be useful to her? If anyone feels that they have anything they might want to add, that would be great as well.
This is Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi. Marissa, can I talk to you later?
Sure. Just, I'd love that.
Very short chat.
Yeah, can I give you my cell?
Yeah.
310.
Is there anything we could learn? Maybe we could learn something.
Well, oh, well, yeah, well, I mean, you could.
Well, but we also...
but it might take too long.
And there are a few people...
Okay.
So just for, like, yeah, to make
all
sure.
All right.
We're focusing on Marissa's client the whole time, then maybe Cheryl won't have a chance. So, yeah. Not that Marissa, that was an awesome client example. It's all good.
What? What's going on?
Does anybody else have
I'm still writing down the phone number.
Okay, 310-663-4425.
4425. Okay.
Awesome. Now we all have it.
Yeah. I'm going to call you after and find out what Kay said about this case.
Curiosity.
We all are.
I mean, I like to learn.
Just kidding.
All right, thank you. And Cheryl, did you have anything you'd like to share?
No, I just wanted to listen in.
Oh, great. Well,
I just want to let you guys know I need to go because I have a class now, so I just want to say thanks for everything. This is Whitney.
Thank you, Whitney.
Yeah, take care, everybody, and I'll...
Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Cheryl.
I have another body question if nobody else has one. I can wait, too. This is Michelle.
I'll jump in then.
Okay.
It's Monica.
Good. Hey, Monica.
Hey, a lady that I did a body reading on, she had it was like a super hard pimple, if you can imagine that, just below kind of where her bra strap would go. And she said that she'd asked the doctor about it, and the doctor said it wasn't a big deal. It was nothing to worry about. But it sticks out, like if you know the pen, when you put the ink down on a pen, a flip-top pen?
Uh-huh.
Or kind of like the end of a pen, about that size. Like it's it's noticeable, but it's very round and it's like super hard. But the doctor, not to worry.
Has she had it a long time? Does it hurt?
No, she says it doesn't really hurt. It just bothers her that it's there.
Can she have it removed? Like sometimes I think some things are they? I mean, I have bumps. I have one on my inner side. You know, like it depends. Like, is it an issue for me? Like, how much of a concern is it?
Like when she's, well, I mean, she won't wear, like, she wouldn't wear a two-piece bathing suit. but it does stick out. Like, it would stick out. It's probably a quarter of an inch.
Mm.
It's just odd. I've never had...
Does it look like an eraser, like that shape from the end of
it? Yeah,
pencil?
Except it's actually rounded at the top. Like, it's...
Uh-huh. And is it kind of like it's a darker color skin than the regular skin? Darker, like
yeah, a little bit,
brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had one of those.
And what is it?
You know, they've got some term for it. My doctor said something, but I actually had it removed. Somebody had some really amazing chemical that worked. She was working on some little precancer spots, too, and she removed it, and it's gone. There's a little spot there, but it's gone.
Oh,
I wonder if... Can you remember, Michelle, what that was called? Because just recently when we were in Sedona, we were actually in the grocery store, and this lady was buying this product that sounds very – they put it actually on cancerous cells, like skin cancer and other deep growths that people can get rid of, and it's a natural product that they put on their skin, and it, like, gets rid of everything. So I'm just wondering – it sounds similar to what you just said. Oh, black salve. Has anyone ever heard of that?
But it wasn't that wasn't cancerous. I had other little spots that were, but that was not cancerous. And my regular GP said it was not. And she said the problem with cutting it off is it usually comes back. But I went to some other skin person that's got some special magic formula that gets rid of it, and it did.
It was black.
This product.
It was a dark brown. A very dark brown, like a sunspot or kissing spot, only it was like the size of an eraser. It was really big.
Yeah. Bizarre. And salve was called black salve.
Yeah, and it wasn't specific for cancer. It was just, she actually said you can put it in like deep plantar warts or anything that you can't get rid of. And
it's a natural product, like from a natural food store?
Yes, it's natural. It's called black salve, S-A-L-V-E. I've never heard about it before. I'm not sure where to get it, but there was this exciting conversation with the people in front of us with the cashier, and they were all raving about it. So I'm not sure. Maybe, and then always we can see what Michelle put on hers.
I could look up what that is. But it's a while ago that it happened, but this is some sort of skin guy that... I don't know, he has this special formula, and he gives half of the money to some third world nation. So was not cheap. It was not cheap to get it removed. But, I mean, it wasn't expensive either. I mean, I don't go through surgery or anything. Yeah. But
it never came back.
That's correct.
It never came back. Yeah. Which is interesting, because if something is psychosomatic, if the psychosomatic issue hasn't been, released, it would come back. So sometimes a growth is a growth.
Right. Yeah. I think it was a growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember Hermes.
I just have to run. This is Patricia. I'll see you in Sedona.
All right. See you, Patricia.
Okay. Bye,
Patricia.
Bye.
If a growth is a growth, is an injury an injury?
No. I don't think it's, I think also it depends on the growth, but I mean, some things are
benign.
I don't want to, are not relevant. They're not, if it's a psychosomatic issue, it's going to be apparent that it's a psychosomatic issue. I guess it's the best way to describe it. It's kind of like this bump I have on my inner thigh. I'm not concerned about it. It's been there for about a year. I think I might even name it soon. I mean, it's not a cycle. An accident's different, I believe.
An accident hurts. Usually.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. If it right? So it's only a problem if it's a problem.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So if the doctor's telling her, for example, the growth is it's nothing and it doesn't hurt, like it sounds more like cosmetically, she just doesn't like the looks of it.
Yeah.
Then she could always do the work around that, because that's coming to terms with loving it and being okay with it being seen.
Well, I think that any time you have something protruding from your body, it's just alarming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like but sometimes things are protruding, but they're not life threatening. They're not.
Yeah,
they're
it's just odd. Like that's what she says.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, Monica. It's the best I can do without.
Do you have any other questions, ladies?
Yeah, I have some questions about toes. So I have two different sets of toes that have, like the second and third toe, the feeling toe and the doing toe. Yeah. They are pressed such that they kind of bend backwards. That is, it looks like they're double jointed or something. And so they're not gripping in the way that they show in the book, where they kind of, the toes are heads are down. But it looks like it still has the effect of looking like they're being pressed down. But it kind of causes the toe to bend.
It's like a pulling back, as opposed to pressing down. It's a pulling back from the front.
Pulling back. Yes, that's would be a good in. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so
back.
Think about it. If your feet are movement forward and creating new experiences in your life, pulling back from your future is what your toes are telling me.
Right, and well, it's pulling back from feeling and doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both on the feeling. Well. It's doing, or no, it's thinking and relationships, right?
No, feeling and doing.
Feeling and doing. No, it's not, the big toe is not involved. It's just the second and third toe.
Oh, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's more, looks like it's more on the right side and more noticeable on the feeling on the right side, which I guess would make sense.
Yeah.
Yes, because that would be what they're doing in the outer world on the right side.
Yeah, yeah. So they're pulling back from their motions. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, thank you. That's cool.
I would look at, how which one looks like is in control. Is the feeling one overpowering the doing one? In which case, their feelings are affecting what they're doing and causing them to pull back, or is the doing kind of say controlling the feeling one? So what they're doing is, say, maybe suppressing their emotions and causing them to pull back. Does that make sense? Like, it depends.
Yeah, it does.
Also.
It does, but I wouldn't know how you would say one over the other. It looks like the feeling one is a longer toe.
So that's more controlling. That'd be more of a controlling.
Yeah, it looks bigger than the doing toe. Yeah.
So there'd probably be more energy there. So I'd say that one... I would suggest that one's actually controlling the doing as opposed to the doing to the feeling.
Yes, I think that would be a good reading.
I'm really sorry, ladies, but I do have to sign off right now. I have a call coming in here, and I have to take it. But if you guys want to continue, just turn off the recording in a couple minutes here.
Well, I think it's 7:06. I think that actually... Unless anyone has anything pressing.
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what biting the inner cheek means.
So just being hard on yourself and it's a fear thing as well.
Which side?
Yeah.
Probably more the right.
Mm-hmm. Is this something, who is this, by the way?
This is Tracy.
Oh, hi, Tracy. Sorry, I didn't recognize your voice. It's Adamantia. More on the right. To me, like, if everyone just does that right now, bite inside on your right.
Being afraid of current reality.
Right?
Like, yeah, I think it's more the left because I can't do the right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what sense do you get when you do that? To me, it's a nervousness.
Yeah,
I get a sense
and anxiety.
Of,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and nervousness in expression, in expressing is...
No, I used to do that a lot when I always felt behind. Like in life, I just thought, oh, I'm behind my peers or whatever, and so I was just stressed out about it, and that's when I used to do it a lot.
Okay.
I just feel, it feels like an anxious thing, anxious in regards to expression.
Okay.
And then, of course... You could ask, I would ask another question, is it on the bottom or the top? So,
well, It's actually kind of in the middle, but the bottom lip as well.
Yeah, more so that would be the expression of thoughts. Expression of thoughts.
Holding back your words.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
On the intellectual side, so overthinking something that they want to say or do. And being really hard on themselves, too, because the teeth, right?
Yeah. No, that's great. Thank you so much. That makes so much sense.
Good.
We love answering questions.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys are here to answer questions.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we're all here, and I really I really would love to get some pictures for us to look at together. I think that would be one step.
I would love to do that.
I think that. So we're gonna get
pictures. Yeah, I'll get it happening.
We're gonna make that happen. So we're just gonna make that happen.
What we could do is, if you email us pictures, we could put them up and then put the link to the picture on the Facebook group page, and that way we can grab that link from there.
I probably would say not on the Facebook page, because if we're going to be using people's pictures, there's a privacy issue.
Yep.
But I think if we look at...
is this a closed group for practitioners?
I would hesitate.
Because then all the practitioners would have to see it anyway, right?
No, I wouldn't. Personally, I would say no to that. But if there's any way that we could do it within a call, like and have private access to who's ever on the call, and a step further would be to ask the person whose picture it is it okay that we're going to be using them as well, if that's what somebody feels comfortable. But I would keep it private.
Then we would have to put them up on the replay page so that the people who are listening to replay would know what it is.
Mm.
Or the people can just come on the call and do it live if they want to learn.
Live calls are great.
I don't want to think about that, the legalities of it.
Yeah, we'll figure out how to do it. We'll have a discussion on it. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. And we'll talk to you all soon. Thank you so much.
Have a great evening.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.